Acts chapter number 15, verses 36 through 40. A family feud. A family feud. How you feel this morning? Amen. Come on and praise the name of the Lord. If your family is anything like my family, there's some characters in the family. In spite of there being characters in your family, you still love them. Your love for them is so great that you can't wait to get to the family reunion. I mean, you know Jeff is going to say something that is crazy. You just don't know what Jeff is going to say. But you know that. What you know as well is that even though it's a family reunion and it's a time for love and a time for laughter, there's always going to be one in the family that's going to set it off. I don't know if this is Junebug or
Ray
Ray or Pookie or who it is, but you're always going to have someone in a family that's going to do something and it's going to change the whole dynamic of the family reunion. Some choices. You can still love on the person, or you can do what most families will do, and that is you can begin to get in a little clique and talk about him, and no one tells him what he's really doing.
All right.
We have a tendency not to address issues. So we think if I don't talk about him, then they'll go away. Not true. The truth of the matter is, if you don't say anything, the one that started off by saying this or doing this, throw in the situation 2 beers. You act so holy, so spiritual. Come on, let's be real. Maybe it's not 2 beers. Throw in a case. And then you're ready to set it off. And so, what began in an atmosphere of love, all of a sudden, now someone is trying to fight someone else. And so, you always have this person in the family that's going to referee everything. You shouldn't do this, and you remember last time and how that turned out. And they always want to be the one to calm everything down. And 15 minutes later, after Ray Ray cursed them out and Pookie say what Pookie does, now they, the one that was trying to calm the situation down, that's the one you got to hold because now they trying to fight. About my family. I know y'all just going, y'all just praise the name of the Lord and everything is all fine and you're all so holy and you never have any issues in your family. But the Bible declares in Proverbs 17:17 that a brother is born for adversities. See, sometimes we look at family members and say, I can't believe they would do that. Well, the truth of the matter is, they are in essence born to do that to you. Because you don't choose your family, you choose your friends. So the Bible says a friend will stick closer than a brother. Just because we're in the same family don't mean we're going to have lunch and we're going to be down together. It's possible that we can be in the same family and our only conversation is, hey, how are you doing? I don't want to talk to you beyond that. I don't want to know anything about you, and I certainly don't want you to talk to me. No, I didn't go to your family reunion. I'm just talking Bible this morning. So I want to share with you this morning a story of about Barnabas, John Mark, Paul, and how something happened between the three, and that relationship relationship went south. So I want to give you a little history, and the history I want to share with you is that there was a man by the name of Saul. Saul one day was traveling down the road to Damascus. Traveling down the road to Damascus, at noonday, the sun shined. When I say sun, I mean S-O-N. Where he saw Jesus at noonday, and Jesus says to him, "Why do you kick against the prick?" In other words, what he's saying is, why are you fighting against me? Mm-hmm. When you take it upon yourself to do damage to a child of God, I need for you to understand God is still saying the same thing to you. Why do you kick against the prick? For the Bible declares that you need to be careful who you put your mouth and your hands on, because you may be entertaining an angel. You need to understand that the Bible declares that no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. You need to understand that your enemies may come against you. And I'm saying enemies because sometimes your greatest enemies, your biggest enemies is in your house, in your family. But no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Walking, or Saul is walking, he's not bothering one. Here comes Jesus. Jesus says to him, "Why do you kick against the prick?" Paul or Saul is changed, and then all of a sudden, God says, "I won't call you Saul, I'll call you Paul." See, when God changes you, he gives you a different name and a new nature. I know somebody called you no good, but God says, "That's my child." I know someone said about you, "You'll never be anything," but God says, "Yes, you will." I know someone said about you, "You'll never be delivered," but God says, "You're coming out of that situation." I know someone said about you that no one will ever love you, but God says, "I love you." I know what someone said about you, "You'll never get this and you'll never amount that," but God says, "I know the plan that I have for you." You see, you have to hold on to what God is saying about you and not what man is saying about you. As a matter of fact, you need to begin to praise God for the haters, for the enemies, for those that dislike you. Because if you didn't have haters, if you didn't have folks that dislike you, you wouldn't stay on your knees. So I need to begin to thank God that some fool, excuse me, some crazy person came in my life. Because when you came in my life, you gave me a different relationship with God. I never would have known him had it not been for you. If you didn't make me cry, I never would have stayed up all night praying to get a relationship with God. If you never would have walked out of my life, I never would have known that God will walk in. If you never would have disappointed me, I never known the joy that is in God. So I need to begin to thank God. Because what you meant for evil, God meant for good. Do you know that God? Do you know the God that has the power to turn your situation around? Have you ever tried God? Have you ever been going one direction, didn't like where you were going, but God stepped in, he turned that thing around. You didn't know when he showed up. You just know he showed up and he showed out. That's the God that we came to give some praise to this morning. A God that will always turn your situation around. Now he's saved. He's sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit. The problem is no one else in the church believe him.
What you say?
If I can take just a little censor just for a moment, I wonder how many of you were selling drugs, prostitution, hooked on this, and dependent on that, but when you came in the church, you knew that God changed you, but the church didn't accept you. That's how Paul was feeling. See, sometimes God will use the worst of us to do something good. Because it is in the worst of us that we learn to have compassion for other folk. See, some folk been in the church all their lives. And they've been holy all their life. They don't know what a bad day looked like. They don't know what sin looked like, so they say. I'm glad that God could take somebody and bring you through something. I'm glad I came this morning and I'm talking to some people that's upon a time that the way that you get Christians, he says, because everybody in the church was not saved. So Paul would take a Christian, or Saul, that is, at the time, would take a Christian, he would set you on fire and use you as a light pole at night. Because he was saying there's too many hypocrites in the church. A hypocrite, by definition, is a person with two faces. I'm talking about the one that say, I'm going to pray for you, and then get on the cell phone and talk about you. I'm talking about the one that says you can have everything that I got, my friend, until you need it. We call them fair weather friends. As long as everything is clear, as long as everything is shiny, oh, you there. But let me begin to go through something. Well, I don't need to share a beer with you. What I need for you to do is to buy me some medicine. Now you want to criticize. Now you want to tell me about a budget. Now you want to tell me you broke, you should have your own. Listen, it rains on the just as well as the unjust. You may be up today, baby, but you watch your step. You may be on top today, but you watch very carefully. Because the same people you going up in life, so you figure you can look down on somebody else, and then you slip. And when you slip, the same one that you look down on, you now look face to face to. You got to be careful how you treat a child of God. So Paul saved. Paul is anointed, but Paul does not have a pulpit to preach from. Barnabas says, hey, Paul, I remember you and what you used to do. But God came to me and said, you've been changed. You don't have to believe in my change, but I know that I've been changed. I even know the angels in heaven that sign my name. I don't care what you think. Barnabas says, come here, Paul. He says, now Paul, he says, I'm known in the Christian community. He says, I'll vouch for you.
Yeah.
Don't forget me when you get there. Listen to this point. A true friend doesn't mind standing in the shadow so you can shine. I'm not afraid of you.
Right.
I'm not intimidated by you.
Right.
I don't care what you have.
Yeah.
And so I don't have to break our friendship so that I can get what you got. If I'm standing next to you and God is blessing you, I must be next in line. Call me crazy, but I'm going to hang in there with you. About Barnabas. Barnabas looks at Paul and he saw the anointing in his life.
All right.
So Barnabas says, I'm going to do what I need to do to put a platform for you. When I help you to come or to stand on the platform, he says, I'm not walking away from you. I'm just going to stand in the shadow. Because boy, the message that you got is stronger than what God gave me. He says, where God is taking you is higher than where he's taking me. I don't have problems where I'm supporting you. I don't have problems coming under you. I don't have problems submitting to me. I got my own ministry. Paul, you got to get yours too. I'm already established, Barnabas could have said. But he says, I see the anointing that is upon your life. And so he says, because I see it, he says, I'm going to vouch for you. I'm going to the other disciples and tell them that it's okay if they trust you. And so he goes to the other disciples and say, hey, guys, it's okay if we trust Paul. And then when you went there, they said, oh, no, not Paul. You are not crazy. Do you know? Do you remember? Have you heard all these things about Paul? And Barnabas is saying, but God has changed and don't worry about all that stuff. And so eventually they allow Paul into the fold. Now, the moment that Paul comes into the fold, the moment that he comes into the circle with everyone else, he begins to allow his ego to work on him. Lots of things in life we can tame. The tongue is one we can't, and that ego is another. We cannot tame that. See, because sometimes what we are about is social status, positions, and what others think of you. You know what? I don't care what you think about me. I'm so glad God has delivered me from the opinion of other people. I can care less what you think. When such as wants that money every month for mortgages and all, says, come on in. Barnabas begins to allow him to come in. He comes in. When he comes in, Paul says, now I'm established. So Paul says, let's go and establish churches, because now he's trying to push his ministry out. And so they take with him some little young guy just coming into the ministry by the name of John Mark. And when you're young in ministry, you're excited about ministry because you don't know anything about ministry.
Okay.
I'm not talking about y'all. You all. I'm talking about someone else. Church folk is hell. I'm not talking about y'all. Y'all okay. Y'all perfect. I'm just talking about some church folks I met somewhere else. When you come into church, they judge you based on what you drive. You don't even know your situation. That could be the first car you ever own. And then you come out of the club smelling like liquor, but you decide that God is changing you. And now they want to judge you because you don't smell like what they think you ought to smell like. People are always judging you in the church, and we wonder why the church is so empty.
All right.
The one you just got through talking about, not me. John Mark hooks up with them. They go on this little journey, and they're preaching the gospel, and everything is going good. And Paul and Barnabas and John Mark, they have this wonderful relationship, and then they run into a little trouble. It's something about people, when you encounter trouble, that they feel they need to give you some time to yourself. I'm not going to ask you for anything. I'm not going to ask you to borrow any money. When trouble comes, you don't have to leave me. See, when trouble comes, people act like you got a disease and they need to get away from you. No, no, no. When people are going through something, you need to press into that person. You need to let them know that you love them. You don't need to quote a scripture and tell them how wonderful God is. They already know that. Sometimes people just want to hold your hand. Sometimes people just want to feel your presence. I don't need a scripture. I can quote a scripture. I need to know that you got the love of God inside of you. I need to know that you are a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I don't need your holy scripture. Get hard. And when times get tough, John Mark says, forget about it. Forget about it. John Mark, the one that wrote or named the book of Mark here, John Mark, he says, forget it. I quit ministry. Quit. I hear you. I see you. The truth is, I understand. There's no hurt like church hurt. You want somebody to hurt you? Deal with church folk. You want somebody to cut you deep? Deal with church folk.
Get off of that now. Get off of that.
You want somebody to talk about you? Deal with church folk. You want somebody to scandalize your name? Deal with church folk. Church folk. Now notice I'm talking about church folk and not saved folk, because there's a difference. You can be in the church and jacked up at the same time. You can be in the church and the biggest sinner at the same time. But I came this morning to introduce you to somebody who has the power to turn your life around. I came this morning to introduce you to somebody who has never been to college. When John Mark quits the ministry, he says, I'm going back. So he leaves and he goes back. And so several months later, when Barnabas and Paul get back, then Barnabas says, let's go back out. That's what we pick up this morning. Let's go out. Let's check on the churches. Let's see how they're doing. And so Barnabas has a cousin by the name of John Mark. Barnabas says, I see something in my cousin. Now, he's not there yet, but I see something in him. Now, Paul, the one that Barnabas vouched for, all of a sudden cannot forgive John Mark. I wonder if you got any family folk that you brought through a situation when they were down and now they can't forgive somebody else. Now all of a sudden they have to pass judgment, forgetting where they came from, forgetting that somebody brought them through. You see, it's something about God, that God is a God of a second chance. And so what Barnabas saw was the best that was in John Mark. Here's the point. The point is, while other people pretend, a true friend will always perform. Other folk talk about love. Other folk talk about friendship. But Barnabas says, I'm going to put some skin in the game. I hate dealing with folk who don't have an investment in something, because you'll easily walk away from something because it means nothing to you. But Barnabas says, I see something in it. And what I see is how God is going to use him. And so I'm going to keep him in this ministry. And so Paul says, no, he quit one time. Just forget about him. Just give up. And Barnabas began to remind him, you wasn't always safe. You wasn't always where you were. See, sometimes people need to remind us where we came from. Then that will stop us from looking down on other folks. So now when you see somebody come into church and they're in a hoochie mama dress, you don't judge them. You say, thank God they made it to church. See, God has this love about him where it draws folks. And the Bible declares through loving kindness how I draw me. I ain't beat you up. I ain't talk about you. God says, I love you into salvation. I graced you into salvation. I anointed you to do what you're doing. Don't get cute about it. God is saying, I'm guiding and directing you. Don't you forget that the steps of a good man is ordered by the Lord. Every now and then, I'll take the wrong turn. To get me back. Every now and then I fall short, but thank God he loves me anyway. Every now and then I have a misstep, but thank God he's a God of a second and a third, and I'm not at 9,874 million chance. He keeps on loving me in spite of me. How can I not love him? For God so loved the world. So strong. I want to remind you, I don't know where I put that Bible, but I want to remind you of something. this is what I want to remind you of, is that what I'm talking to you about is in the Bible. Now, this is what the Bible reads. The Bible says the contention between Paul and Barnabas was so sharp, they departed. So what? See, sometimes you beat yourself up because you can't reestablish relationships with family folk. Listen to me. Some family folks, they're lovable, but I don't like them. God says love. He didn't say like foolishness. Well, you know, that's my cousin. I just gotta loan him $20 more. Keep on loaning $20. I remember what they did last time, but that's my sister. That's my brother. Keep on. A drowning man or woman cannot save anyone else. Listen to me. There comes a time in life where you have to be selfish in order to make sure you have sanity. Because if I keep on doing for you, every time you ask me, I'll go crazy. And two crazy folks together cannot help one another. That's what Melvin did. I need to look out for my best interest. And so here, Barnabas is saying to Paul, not forgive John Mark. Well, he walked away from ministry. And he says, yeah. But he's back. A true friend will see you through. When others think you are through. Because they still see something inside of you. They look beyond the shell. And they see the spirit man inside of you. And so they'll see you through when others say, that's the end.
All right.
But you're a child of God.
Yes.
See, God put something or placed something inside of you. It's the spirit of bouncing back.
Hallelujah. Do you trust him? If you trust God, then what
you understand is that you cannot make it to heaven without His grace. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is what He gives you. Grace is what the cross did. It canceled out our sins and gave us life through Jesus Christ. His amazing grace. You fell short. I came to talk to you this morning, to minister to you this morning, and to say you can start all over again and right now. If you're here this morning and you don't have that relationship with Jesus Christ, I invite you to come this morning to give your life to Christ and to start all over again. If you're here this morning, no church home, not sure about your salvation, I beg you this morning, I plead with you this morning, come just as you are. You don't have to fix anything. You don't have to change anything. Just come as you are. He'll do the fixing. He'll do the changing. He'll make it all right. You just come as you are. This morning, if you leave this morning, you're in a car accident, you die. Where do you wake up to? The Bible declares to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, if you know Him. So what you wake up to is in the presence of God. If you don't know Him, as long as there's a heaven, which is forever, there must be a hell. You don't go to hell, burn for 5 seconds, and say, I changed my mind. No, baby. That's it. Why, you still have a chance right now. If I was you and I didn't have that relationship, I would come. We come to church and we talk about the goodness of God. We talk about the grace of God, the mercy of God. I want to talk to you about hell in closing this morning. Suffering, darkness, for eternity. Not because you sinned, therefore you went to hell. It's because you rejected Him in a time like this where you say, I don't want you. Sin doesn't take you to hell, because every day all of us sin. So it must be something that takes me in the presence of God. That's His amazing grace. That's the gospel in a nutshell. Jesus died on the cross. He extended grace to us. That's the gospel. With everyone. Not sure about your salvation. No church home. Maybe you are. You just need a place. You need a platform just as Paul. You need a place where you can exercise your ministry, your gift. We invite you to come. With everyone. Have you been blessed today?